The UK Report.
And we say good morning to you, Gavin Gray. We start this morning with the five largest economies in the EU agreeing to share information on secret owners of businesses and trusts.
Yes, and you might think, well, I'm surprised they're not doing this already, but it just doesn't happen around the world. So Britain, Germany, France, Italy and Spain have all agreed to exchange data. And this after the Panama Papers leak, of course, and world leaders desperately trying to sort of show they are responding to public concern over the way people can try and have offshore trusts. Now, Treasury officials are saying that that's going to make it harder for businesses and wealthy individuals to operate without paying the correct taxes. Now, the five countries are pushing for the rest of the G20 to follow suit, and that would, of course, would include the world's largest countries. So we're talking China, America, Saudi Arabia, where in the past, frankly, tax information has been kept pretty secret between those countries. So there might be an idea that this goes more global, but at the moment it appears unlikely. But make no doubt, there is a big pressure now on world leaders and on individual countries to actually follow suit. So the UK has already announced that it will actually make its register of beneficial public ownership and is really urging the other four to do more. What that means is that it's not just information which will be given to the other four nations in the group of five we've described, but also means that it'll actually be made entirely public as well and available to the public. So that's a big thing. The exchange is unlikely, though, to really placate the victims who say not enough's being done to crack down on global tax avoidance and tax evasion.
It is a big thing indeed. Now, the Pope reportedly taking 12 migrants back to the Vatican with him from Greece. But before that, he paid a controversial visit to Germany to visit the migrants there.
Yes, the Pope was met by the Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew and also by the Prime Minister of Greece, Alexis Tsipras. Now, the Vatican is saying this is a purely humanitarian and religious nature. It should not be seen as a criticism of deportations, but the Pope is visiting the camp at Lesbos, an island in Greece that's been extremely popular with those looking to get across from North Africa, out of Syria, and into Europe. And currently there are 3,000 people at this camp. It's very overcrowded. Aid agencies say it is subhuman trying to live there. And there's no doubt that the Pope's visit is going to cause some concern, I think, to the leaders in Europe who now believe they've worked out a sort of plan for the future of how to deal with migrants. The plan, I suppose, is that everyone who does not acclaim asylum will either be sent back to Turkey for a deal in which Turkey's being given some £3 billion worth in aid to help those migrants. But for everyone that does that, Europe will agree to take in one. And many are saying this does not address human rights that the migrants have. What happens if that migrant has a family member in one particular country in Europe? You're kind of disregarding that. And indeed, shortly before the Pope visited, a man from Syria attempted to kill himself at the camp after being told he would be deported back to Syria. So it's a highly symbolic visit. It's certainly drawn attention around the world to the plight of the people. But at the same time, they continue to come, despite this new EU policy, which certainly did slow it down to a trickle for a few days. There are now moves from people in other countries to come across. What's interesting, Africa, I think, is that most of those who have been deported from Greece are Pakistanis. It would appear that many, many thousands have decided that they too will try to come to Europe at the same time.
We're also seeing migrants from Southern Europe making their way to the UK as the Eurozone jobs crisis is really overwhelming the region.
Yes, it's interesting. This was a survey done of why people are coming to the UK, or an analysis of that. It would absolutely appear to be the case that while many in Europe are really struggling, I mean, we're seeing high unemployment levels in Spain in particular, Portugal, where particularly youth unemployment is accounting for, you know, one in three young people, if not more. So new analysis shows six countries provided half of all the nationals coming to the UK. They are Poland, Romania, Spain, Italy, Hungary and Portugal. And it's Spain, Italy and Portugal that are interesting here, because you'd associate them with being vibrant economies, doing pretty well, having jobs themselves. But that's just not the case. which is why, particularly for young people, so many are coming across. And we believe 700,000 from Poland and Romania. The number now stands at 3.3 million European Union nationals living in the UK. So it is a staggering figure, and many from this survey, the Migration Observatory, say there are a number of so-called pull factors, but it is a mixture including wages and economic prospects. Now, wages is coming into play, Africa, because recently there has been installed a minimum wage, and that minimum wage is actually higher than the wage in many parts of Europe. So many think, well, if I'm going to do any work and I'm guaranteed that particular wage, which would roughly stand at per hour about the £10 an hour mark, just under. So you're talking about just under the 200 South African rand an hour mark. You can see why many find it so attractive.
Now, why has a British mother been banned from naming her child Cyanide?
Well, this is a bizarre story, and she has been banned because they decided, the judges decided, that Cyanide is simply going to hand the child a life of, well, misery, really. They don't believe it's fair on the child. And I'm not just talking at school, but also other areas in life where they believe this child from Wales simply cannot have the name Cyanide. Now, her mother says, well, it's a lovely name. It's got connotations. After all, it was the drug that killed Hitler before at the end of World War II. But I'm afraid the mother has herself a history of drug abuse, alcohol abuse. She's from Paris in Wales. And the authorities have said, no, you can't. In fact, her children have been taken into care. It is a very sad story. But at the same time, you think, who on earth would want to call their children Cyanide? But evidently, this young mother did, but she's been told she can't.
Now, which degree would I have to read to earn a big salary in the UK?
Ah, fascinating reading this, because you would have thought that, you know, the obvious degrees would have got you into your normal jobs and so forth, and you would have thought that certain degrees were going to be better than others. This particular list actually shows that in many ways, perhaps that is turned on its head. Now, yes, a doctor, if you're getting into medicine, that is certainly a very useful skill, and certainly one in which they're saying will be very good. You won't be surprised to learn, perhaps, that media degrees aren't particularly doing very well at the moment. There's been, of course, huge cuts to the way in which the media operates and cuts to the way in which news is being gathered. So, yes, it is accountancy, as you can imagine. That's another pretty popular one. It is the fairly sort of standard trades that you might imagine. But, of course, new ones in the last few years, information technology and computing also providing very, very good salaries and vacancies throughout there. But here in the UK, perhaps surprisingly, a huge deficit of engineers. If you want to become an engineer, there is a big waiting list here in the UK, and many are saying that's a shame, and we're not educating our youngsters correctly and encouraging them to take a degree in engineering.
Gavin Gray, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Gavin will be back next week, Sunday, with the UK Report.